The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
More, thank you so much for that. Take your Bible and go back to Joshua chapter 6, look at verse 1. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story about the coming down of the walls of Jericho. The Bible says here in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city. All ye men of war, go round about the city, watch it once. Thou shalt do 6 days. And it says 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, listen to what it says, when they make long blast with the ram's horns, and you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Oh, what a wonderful story to be able to see God's presence and God's hand in dealing with this city on behalf of the children of Israel. We understand this, that of course, as they're getting ready to enter into the land of Canaan, most Bible students will typically say that the land of Canaan was a picture of the victorious Christian life. So as you understand, they're getting ready to enter into the blessed land, if you will, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that God has richly blessed over the years, the land whereby the testimony of God's blessings was rich upon that land. They've heard about it for years. They have dreamed about it, no doubt, for years. Now it comes time to enter into that blessed land. As they get ready to enter into that blessed land, they see that there is a great structure, the great structure in which they're going to first come upon. By the way, this was just not an average structure. This was the oldest city of that day, the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho was a marvelous structure. It took many, many, many years for it to be built. But I want you to see, as we study tonight, this place that's called Jericho, these people that are called the people of God, this one who is God that brought down the wall that was the wall of Jericho, and by the way, the same God that brought down the wall of Jericho in the children of God's lives then is the same God that can bring down any walls that you have in your life today. He's not the God of the Old Testament, nor is he the God of only the New Testament. He's the God of his dear children today. So no matter what you're facing in your life, God is the one that can help you to be able to conquer, to destroy those walls of defeat. So let me bring to your attention tonight just 4 simple thoughts about this wall. Statement number 1, Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Now, I know as God's children tonight, no doubt there's times in your life individually and in my life individually where we ourselves believe that we have walls that we cannot penetrate, walls that we cannot overcome, walls, if you would please, that look like that it is impossible for us to be able to overcome. Walls come in different types of things that's in our life. Sometimes it may be a wall of a misunderstanding. Sometimes it might be a wall, if you would please, of a mom or a dad that's leaving the house, never to return. Sometimes it might be the wall that we face, a difficult time when somebody in our life, somebody that we love so deeply and so widely, but yet they come down with some type of fatal disease. Sometimes it might be the wall of maybe some financial disaster that you came through. But we're all going to face different types of walls in our life. The city of Jericho here in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So when the children of Israel started to appear on the scene, the gates were shut. The gates were shut, and these that were in the city of Jericho shut themselves up. Matter of fact, they shut themselves up so tightly that they decided that, no, we're not going to go out, and no, we're not going to let anybody in. Now, I want to tell you something. That's what walls does in your life, too. If you're not careful, when all of a sudden something doesn't go your way, you'll put up walls around you, and you do not allow yourself to be used of God in an outward fashion, nor do you allow God to enter in to be able to do anything in your life. Sometimes we see, and by the way, we can see when something changes in somebody's life. If you know how a person normally walks, stay with me, how a person normally walks, how they normally talk, how all of a sudden you look at them and there's a hardness on the face, there's a change in the attitude, the disposition in which they present themselves, you don't have to be a brain scholar or brain surgeon to figure out something's wrong. You don't have to be somebody that examines and studies humanity to understand that something has changed. Now, wait a minute. What is it that is so dynamic about this particular city? Let me give you the structure of it, if I may. It's the oldest city in the world at that time, of course, surrounded by a system of two walls. There was the outer wall that was 6 foot thick and 20 foot high. There was the inner wall that was 12 foot thick and 30 feet high, and in between those walls, it was well guarded, but there was a 15-wide passageway in between those walls. That means that you could take two chariots that were called war chariots, you could take two war chariots and run them side by side around the entire interior of that wall. These were massive walls. These were not going to be walls that somebody's going to stick just a piece of dynamite in and blow them to pieces. That's not going to happen. These are not walls that man could be able to come up with something to be able to take down. Now, listen to me tonight. Most of the time when you have problems in your life, it is not a wall that you're going to be able to take down. It is not a wall. I know young people all the time, and here's what happens. All of a sudden, when things come up and they're real in your life as a young person, if you're not careful, instead of getting help, you put a wall up between you and your parent. You'll put a wall up between you and your youth pastor, or you and your pastor, or you and another leader in the church, when you're not supposed to be putting up walls. You're supposed to let God take care of any situation that comes in your life. And can I tell you, God is the great wall taker down. God can take down any wall. By the way, can I tell you something? How do you know when something's not of God? I can tell you. When something is not of God and it starts to build up walls, it starts to build up walls. You are made to be able to have fellowship with God. If something's happening in your life and it is distorting, it is hampering your fellowship with God, something's not right. If it is distorting or hampering your fellowship with your parents, something is not right. If it is distorting or hampering your relationship with a godly leader in your life, something is not right. And so how is it that we can take down these particular walls? What is it that we can do? Well, let's follow the pattern of Israel, if you will. Israel had a huge wall. And can I submit this to you tonight? Their wall was probably bigger than any wall that you ever have in your personal life. Their wall was more massive than any wall that you will ever have in your personal life. This thing, if you would please, that surrounded the city that is called a wall, it was so great that all they had to do was shut the gate and nobody's getting in and nobody's getting out. And can I tell you, if that is a description of your life, then you're in trouble. You always ought to let God in. You always ought to let your parents in. You always ought to let godly people in to be able to help you in your given life. Now, walls sometimes come as ways of distraction. Sometimes they come and they present destruction in the way that they come. I read the story of Mary Kay Ash. Mary Kay, some of you know the program. Mary Kay Ash, the founder of Mary Kay, worked for a company for 26 years. She was a sales rep, and she did a good job. She became part of the board of the company, but decided that I just need to resign. So she resigned, went into retirement, but after a short time in retirement, she became quite bored. And she decided that I need to do something to get out of my boredom. She was only in retirement for 1 month. But can I tell you, she was so busy that she decided that she just could not sit home twiddle the thumbs. So her and her husband decided that they were going to start a company. They got lawyers involved. They got some CEOs involved. They got some advice. They took their life savings of $5,000. That's all they had. Life savings of $5,000. They decided they were going to step out and do a company, a brand new business. The husband was going to be administrator of the company. Mary Kay, she was going to be in charge of the packaging and the marketing and things like that. Before they could open the business, 1 month before it went public, the husband died. Now she's stranded all by herself. By the way, that sounds like a wall. On September 13, 1963, she launched the business. By the way, today it's a $1 billion-plus annual sales business a year with over 4,500 employees, with over 500,000 district sales people that go out, and they call them consultants, that go out and make the sales, and it is in 29 different marketplaces worldwide. Now, wait a minute, why? I'm going to tell you why. Simply because there was somebody that said, okay, I'm retiring, but I'm bored. That's a wall. I think I'd overcome that, okay? My husband died. There's another wall. Might as well give up, go home, and quit. Let's just go milk the cow on the backside of the farm. Didn't do that, but decided was going to go further. All right, now, wait a minute. There's an example of somebody that overcame walls. On August 6, 1999, Major League Baseball player stepped out on the plate in Montreal. He already had, for his career, a wall. He had struck out 5,113 times. But this time, he's going up, and he's getting ready to hit the ball. Now, by the way, you think about this. If a batter gets up four different times in a game with eight seasons, that means that he would strike out 1,287 times almost in a row. That means that he would only get on base one out of every three times, if that, when he would get up the bat. But Tony Gwynn, of that which is the San Diego Pirates, got up that day and he hit his 3,000 hit. Now, that broke a record up until that time. Now, wait a minute, watch this. I'm just giving you ordinary people. See, ordinary people that have walls in their life. And by the way, I want to say something. I'm not sure if Tony was saved. Now, this Mary Kay lady, she professed to be a Christian. But I'm not sure if Tony was ever saved, never got a testimony out of that. But can I tell you, everybody faces walls. You got the example of a Christian that faced walls. You got the example of perhaps somebody that did not know Christ that faced walls. So what makes you think that you're any different? What makes you think that you're going to go through life all the days of your life and not face walls in your life? Amen. What makes you think that you're so special that God all of a sudden is not going to allow walls to come up in your life? What makes you think, and by the way, when those walls come up in your life, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, whether it's temptations, whether it is sin, those walls are allowed to be in your life. Why? So that you can trust somebody that's greater than you are to be able to take down the wall. And there is somebody, I submit to you tonight, that's greater than you are. No matter what your wall is, no matter what your challenges are, no matter what your temptations are, no matter what your problems are, I'm telling you that you've got a God tonight that is bigger than any wall that's in your life. I'm saying that Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Statement number two, Israel had a word from the Lord. Israel had a word from the Lord. So they had a huge wall, but they had a word from the Lord. And can I tell you, this makes all the difference in the world. If Kevin Craig comes up and tries to encourage me, it will encourage me, but maybe only for a little while, because his resources are not that deep. If Casey Palmore comes up and tries to encourage me, it may only encourage me for a little while, because his resources are not that deep. If a Jonathan Wells comes up, or a Jack Botman comes up, or a Mark Butler comes up, or a Brother Crutcher comes up, whoever, and they try to encourage me, hey, it will only last as deeply as their resources is to be able to help with that given problem at that given time. But can I tell you, God's resources are never drained. And so when we have problems in our life and we have walls in our life, what we're supposed to do is not run to a person, but run to that which is Almighty God, the same God, yes, that did answer prayer in the Old Testament, that did answer prayer in the New Testament, is the same God that will answer prayer today. Here it is. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, he says, I have given thee, it says, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. All right, so he's saying this, okay, has anything ever caught God at a surprise? Has there ever been a wall that's ever been built? Come on. You have a wall between you and your parents. You have a wall between you and your preacher. You have a wall between you and an individual in this church. You don't think God can masterfully take down that wall? You don't think God could help you with a relationship? You don't think God could be the one that would help to be able to flatten the wall? So many people nowadays, here's what they do. They run to the divorce court immediately. But I've seen people do this. They divorce themselves not just from the spouse, but they divorce themselves from a relationship. They divorce themselves from a church. Yes, they'll divorce themselves from God. Now, I'm telling you, listen, God is the one that can help, and God is the one that can answer prayer. God is the one that can come through. You're not supposed to get to the point and to the place in your life where you divorce yourself from the only one that can help you, who is God himself. I'm saying that Israel had a word from the Lord. He said, see, he says, I have given into thy hand Jericho. He said, can't you see it? Can't you see what I've done for you? Now, by the way, can I tell you, God has given into your hand salvation. God has given into your hand blessing. God has given into your hand. Or you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. We don't have a perfect church. I know, because you joined it. But can I tell you something tonight, dear friend? You're not going to find a perfect church. Every church you go to, starting with the preacher, you're going to find people that are people. Some people wear deodorant. Some people don't. We wish they all would. Some people are happy people. Other people are not. We wish they all were. Some people, if you would please, are hospitable people while other people just spit without the huss. But we wish that everybody was kind and everybody was loving and everybody was forgiving and everybody cared. But can I tell you, dear friend, welcome to the human race. You say, but preacher, there's something in his church I don't agree with. Well, I'm the pastor. I can tell you, amen. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Israel had a word from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 12 and verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. The Bible says in Psalm 119 in verse 103, he says, how sweet are thy words unto thy taste. Yea, sweeter, it says, than the honey of my mouth. Listen to it, Psalm 119 in verse 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Listen to it in verse 11, same psalm. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 24, the Bible says, thy testimonies also, it says, are my delight and my counselors. Psalm 119 in verse 25, the Bible says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken. The word quicken means to make alive. He says, thou, it says, me according to thy word. You see, the word of God is what can bring life back into you. Your friends forsake you. You have nobody that believes in you. You're walking all alone. You're on your desert by yourself. You're stranded on your island tonight. You think that nobody cares. You think that nobody is for you. But I can tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven that's not giving up on you. He is your friend. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He'll help you in your distressful time. He'll help you when you're down. He'll just encourage you when you're discouraged. Hey, don't give up on the God that's not going to give up on you. I'm saying tonight, I'm saying that God, he said there was a word. Israel had a word from the Lord. I read that verse and it prompts me to study in different areas where it says in Psalm 12 and number 6, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, the Bible says, purified seven times. So in my Bible study this afternoon, as I was re-preparing for this message tonight, I looked up silver. I wondered what it was like to have silver that would be purified. They say that when you dig silver up, that has many different elements that comes up with it. In order to purify the silver, you have to burn off all of those extra chemicals. And in order to do so, you've got to put it in the furnace. But you can't put it in the furnace and just heat it up like gold. You can't put it in the furnace and just heat it up like copper. No, you have to heat it extra. Because you see, silver is clingy. Silver, if you would please, if it does not have a desire to be all that it should be. And so you have to heat it up. They say 2,200 degrees in order to refine it. Now, can I tell you, is God putting you in the furnace so that God can refine you? See, here's what we do. We don't like it when things do not go our way. We live in such a passive society. We want everything now. We want the car now. We want to get married now. You know, we want all the money in the bank now. It took your blessed parents 40 years to get what you want now. Come on. You know, the boy says, I want the girl, and the girl says, I want the boy. And yet, you know, you're not ready to support somebody. Your mom is still feeding you peanut butter. You still got pimples. I mean, what are you going to do? Share popping pimples? I get yours, you get mine. Let's play tic-tac-toe pimple style. Poop, 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 poop. Hey, what about teenagers just being teenagers and enjoying serving Jesus Christ? By the way, when it came time, I love you, but here's the truth. When it came time for Adam to get married, this is really good. When it came time for Adam to get married, God woke him up. Most guys are walking around saying, ooh, baby. Look at her. Woo. Now, by the way, she may be that way now. Woo. Later on, she's this way. I'm just kidding. Don't get mad at me, please. By the way, the men are worse. When I reached 50 years of age, I got attacked. See, I used to eat those potato chips. Ooh, were they good. But when I became 50 years of age, they started showing up. I was preaching a bunch of young people, and they say, hey, pastor, you want to play basketball? I said, buddy, I do it everywhere I go. I've got my own in self-storage right here. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Israel had a word from the Lord. Statement number three. Israel had a willing, winning partner. You see, Israel wasn't in this by themselves. They knew who to go to. I'm going to resubmit to you something tonight. There's not a problem that you have that God cannot help with. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass, it says, at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, he says, I love this part, says, for the Lord hath given you the city. And that's called confidence. He said, go ahead and shout, because he said, the Lord's given it to you. Years ago, D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody, he weighed a little bit more than me. He's a short, stubby guy, you know. And Mr. Moody. Mr. Moody was predominantly a topical preacher. Wasn't expository, but topical. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, don't you think everybody ought to be expository? Then somebody else asked me, almost in the same meeting, don't you think everybody ought to be topical? I said, I think everybody ought to follow God, is what I think. God wants you to be topical when you preach it, buddy. God wants you to be expository when you preach it, buddy. But you just obey the Lord, amen? Amen. Now watch this, if you will. D.L. Moody was getting ready to get out of his carriage. There was thousands that had gathered to hear him preach. No children were allowed in this packed out auditorium. The seats were packed to the hilt. They were just so full. And Mr. Moody, as always, never came down the middle aisle. He would always come in a side door somewhere in the alley because he wanted to avoid the crowd. And so he arrived late, as his custom was. And the crowds were already there. He didn't shake hands. He would just go straight to the pulpit. And he'd after Sankey would sing, he would preach. And that was his custom. And so Mr. Moody, as normal, he arrived a little bit late. And he got there on the side alleyway. And he got ready to go in. And he heard some whimpering, heard some crying. It was a 12-year-old little boy. And he heard some whimpering, heard some crying over there in the corner of the alley. So Mr. Moody walks over and asks that little boy. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I want to go hear the great Mr. Moody preach. And they told me I could not come in." He said, "Well, I tell you, I think that I can get you in." He said, "No." He said, "They're not letting any children in tonight." He said, "Oh, I think I can get you in." He said, "I think I can get you a good seat, too." He said, "I'm big and you're small. I can hide you on the way in. They'll never see you." Now, he didn't know who he was dealing with. And so 340 plus pounds at the time, just wide, short little fellow, you know, Mr. Moody was. And so he said, "Now, son, here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab just a handful of my coattail and don't you let loose for nothing." And so that little bitty boy grabbed the back of Mr. Moody's coattail. And Mr. Moody goes walking in, and he goes walking down the side panel to go up to the... And this little boy's just looking around. He didn't let loose, though, because Mr. Moody had told him, who he did not know was Mr. Moody, and had told him, he said, "Now, you just hold my coattail, son." He said, "I'm going to get you probably the best seat in the place." And so that little boy just held on. For you know what? They go walking up on the platform. Oh, the place was just jam-packed. I mean, adults was everywhere. Here's this 12-year-old little boy. I mean, just as dirty as a little street boy could be. And he follows Mr. Moody. Mr. Moody takes him, and he sets him up in his chair, and he says, "You get to hear Mr. Moody preach tonight." Oh, and Mr. Moody got it and preached, that little boy just staring. I mean, scared to death, mouth dropping open wide. But doing that imitation, that little boy got saved. Amen. Mr. Moody took an offering. The offering was for orphanages. He had a big burden for orphans. He took an offering for the orphanage that he was trying to get started. And so he took that offering that night, and he looked around. That little boy was gone. There's a little note in that chair, and it said, "This is all I have. I hope you can help other boys and girls just like me." There's a dirty old rusty penny attached to that note. Now, wait a minute. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying that we have a winning partner. Well. And our winning partner being the Lord, he wants to help everybody. Right. You know, I hope you never get to the point, to the place where you lose your burden for people. Amen. I think one of the reasons that we have such a good church is because you don't have your eyes on you. Amen. Whenever you get all caught up about you, this is the sermon I preached, and this is the person I am. And, you know, this is, whenever you get all caught up about yourself, dear beloved friend, can I tell you, that's when you lose it. It's not about you. It's about him. You know, I don't want our church ever to be, and I spoke my heart earlier to you, but I'm speaking to you as pastor now. But can I tell you, I don't want our church to ever become stuck up. I don't want that. The person that says, "Well, I tell you what, I think you got a stuck-up church," normally is a person that's stuck on themselves already because they think everything that doesn't go their way is stuck up. Yeah. But if you ever get into Parkside, right. I'm talking about if you ever just let yourself get in. We have people that are church members, but they're not in. They come, they sit in the pew, but they're not in. You know, my Bible says, "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." Now, I'll preach that until my dying day, and I'll tell you, some people will hook in. Yeah. They will. They'll hook in. And boy, they'll come up, and they're not waiting for somebody to shake their hand. You know, they're not waiting, if you would please, standing in their pew saying, "Well, somebody ought to be so blessed to pass by me." Oh, man, no. No, they're going to shake somebody else's hand. Well, you're not amening me loud enough, so I must have tagged you pretty good. Well, you know, shake it off and go around. You know, I mean, this little boy right here looks as lonely as can be. I don't know who his parents is, but he sure does look sorry. Stand up. You know, and so wait a minute. You know, go up and shake that little boy's hand. You know that make his day? You know that? You say, well, he's not deserving of such a handshake such as I could give him. Oh, quit. Your underarm stinks. Go up and shake somebody's hand. Stop pretending that you're somebody. Come on. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that they had a willing, winning partner. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to now work on their behalf. He is going to be the one, if you will, please, that's going to bring down those walls. He's going to be the one that can help, but only if you go to him. Only if you go to him. Somebody told me the other day, they're trying to help me, I'm sure. They said, preacher, when you preach, you smile too much. I said, what do you want me to do, look mean? He said, what do you want me to do? I mean, why don't I look mean? Why don't I look like a junkyard dog? Amen. Why don't I look like I'm getting ready to chase a coon up the side of a tree? I mean, come on now. Now, look at here. I'm saying this. Israel had a huge wall to overcome. Statement number two, Israel had a word from the Lord. Statement number three, Israel had a willing, and you do too, a winning, and you do too, partner. Last statement, and I'll close. Israel had God's power. Listen to me now. Israel had God's power working for them as long as they obeyed his commandments. Israel, as long as they're obeying God, God's going to work on their behalf. Now, I illustrate. I use character plays sometimes. Stand up, if you will, and you're the Lord, so hold your Bible. I used him this morning. I use you tonight. Here's a believer. Believer coming to church, not knowing what to do. Man of God gets up. Man of God begins to preach. Believer has a choice. Do I obey what I know is right that the man of God preached from the Bible? You might not obey all the preacher's illustrations. This preacher's okay with that. You might not even obey all my preferences. This preacher's okay with that. But when it comes to that book right there, dear friend, both you and I are supposed to obey it. Amen. And so all of a sudden, here's the man of God priest. Now, he's got a decision to make. He has a decision to make. Does he obey God whereby, stay with me now, he gets closer to God? Or does he not obey God? See, when he's not obeying God, he's distanced from God. When he's not obeying God, there's a lonely feeling inside. When he's not obeying God, sometimes he feels like, I just don't have the warmth of God anymore. When he's not obeying God, he feels like he can't get his prayers answered. But God hasn't moved. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God hasn't moved. And so a preacher gets up and he preaches about the unmovable God. He says, this is what the Bible says. This is what you're supposed to do. Now, that's what my role play is. I'm your preacher. I'm your man of God. So I'm supposed to get up and say, thus saith the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. Now, you're not supposed to get mad at me. I'm just a delivery boy. I'm just a newspaper boy. You get mad at what I preach. Don't get mad at me. Go ahead and get mad at God. He'll take care of you. But now, wait a minute. So I preach the book, and as I preach the book, you have a choice to make. You can stand over here feeling sorry for yourself. You can stand over here, woe is me, have your little self-pity party, you know, suck your thumb, you know, go run to mama, go run to papa, go run to a brother, go complain to your friends, become a critic, Facebook about the church and just talk negative here and negative there and down here and down there and, you know, righteous, sorrowful notes and, you know, just go ahead and live that life if you want to. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're not happy.
Amen. Amen.
Because you have separated yourself from the only one. I said, you have separated yourself from the only one that can help you. And so, but you go ahead and live your miserable life. Now, don't mind me if I don't jump in your wagon. because I really don't want to go along with you for the ride. I was with a preacher a couple months ago, and he just a bellyaching. Man, he criticizing one preacher and then criticizing another preacher and criticizing one. And I had to look at him, and I said, now look, I said, I know you're more greatly used of God, or at least you think you are, than I am, but let me ask you a question. What's your problem? Now, he wasn't ready for that one. I said, what's your problem? I said, man, you're criticizing everything under heaven. Don't you have anything good to say? Here's what needs, your daddy ought to take you to the woodshed and wear you out. And by the way, this is a big wig in fundamentalism. All right, now I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, he has a choice. So the word of God is preached. Hello. You might not have the greatest preacher in all the world, and I never said and never pretend to be so. But I've got common sense enough to preach to you the book. And so I preach to you the book, and that becomes between you and the Lord, see? And so I preach to the Bible. Now, watch this. And so he says, boy, I believe that. And so he takes a step forward. Now, he's still far from the Lord. He just took a baby step. Now, he's not supposed to do that. He's a grown man. But no, he says, well, I'll accept that. He takes another step. By the way, the longer you keep coming to a Bible-believing preaching church, the more we hope to see you keep stepping.
Amen.
Keep stepping. By the way, who you run with will be depicted on your countenance. Who you hang around, dear friend, will eventually come out. It will. You say, well, it shouldn't show up on the outside. Always does. I'm almost done. Here it is. Put up with me. All right? And so here's more preaching. He's been coming out 2 years. Here's more preaching. Still 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. You say, why is he right here? And he's been coming to church 10 years. Why is he not right there with God? Slow learner right here.
Yes.
Might be your slow learner. Boy, eventually I hope that he's right over here, arm in arm with God. And boy, they're just skipping along, just skipping along. Yeah. By the way, it could be that way in your life. You could. You want to do that again? No, don't. You didn't know it because you're not up here, but that platform was going boom. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. I'm almost done. Here it is. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20. The Bible says, and the people shouted, it says, when the priests blew, it says, the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Look at verse 21. We're in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 21. The Bible says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman and young and old and ox, the Bible says, and sheep and ass, it says, with the edge of the sword. Now, why do you figure that they were supposed to do that? I mean, these kids go to camp. I heard these testimonies, these little boys and girls, they get up here.
Sir.
I heard it, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
These little boys and girls get up here, and they start to weep, and they stand right in this corner, right about here. And I tell Brother Jonathan, give them a mic. So we give them the privilege to come to a platform, and they speak into the mic. And they say, God spoke to my heart. I'm going to live for Jesus until I die. Even if I'm 92, I'm going to live for Jesus until I die. Last about 2 weeks. You know why? Because there's not a personal walk with God. That's why. They don't know him personally. See, it's easy to get up and make, and I'm for it. Man, I'm for it. I'm for it. I'm for every time we have a camp. Kids making decisions. I'm for it. You'll never hear me stop it. You'll never hear me say, put it on hold. No. Oh, I want them to make every decision they can make.
Yes, sir.
I want them to get as close to God as they can get as close to God. But I don't want them to stop.
Amen.
See, the blessings stop when you stop.
Right.
Now, you can't blame that on your papa, and you can't blame that on your mama.
Right.
You can't blame that on your circumstance.
Right.
Well, the reason that I'm not happy is because it's my daddy's fault. No, no, no. You choose to be unhappy.
That's
a choice.
That's right.
Well, the reason, I just don't like the rules of the home. So I'm going to leave and go join the service. And you're going to have a sergeant's going to kick you in the rear. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand this. We understand that the Bible says that they were to utterly destroy all that was, listen to it now, in the city. Verse 21, Joshua chapter 6, all that was in the city, both men. Now, why? Those men could rebuild that wall. Those women could rebuild that wall. The young's going to grow. The old could finance it. The ox could be used, and the sheep could be used, and the ass could be used, and they're supposed to be destroyed by what? By the edge of the sword. You've got a sword of the Spirit right here. The only way you can destroy things in your personal life that will cause you never to build the wall again is by the Word of God.
Amen.
See, wait a minute. See, when you joined Parkside Baptist Church, you thought that preacher is so sweet, kind, loving, charitable. Just a good old fella of compassion and passionate about his compassion. But understand tonight, you've got a man of God that loves you enough to tell you the truth. Now, I do love you. You pull some dumb stunts, I'm going to cry for you. I'm going to weep for you. I'm going to be in my office. I'll be weeping tears all over that beautiful couch that gets wet so often. I'm going to weep. I'm not going to kick you out. I'm not going to come put my finger in your face. I mean, most of the time when you do wrong, you beat yourself up so good, nobody even has to correct you. But you do have a preacher that will run beside you. Come on. Every single person in this auditorium tonight that's pulled a dumb stunt of some way or another, I've tried my best to help, to reconcile, and to reestablish their lives. Every single person. You do have a preacher that has a heart. But I would be heartless tonight. Stay with me. I'm almost done. I would be heartless tonight if I didn't tell you the truth. Now, I'm saying tonight, no matter what walls you have in your life, you understand tonight that those walls, God knows that they're there. You have a word from the Lord. Hey, he can help you if you'll let him. You have a willing, winning partner. Then you see this, that God gives you the power if you continue to work with him in obedience so that those walls will never be built again. You don't have to go through life letting those walls come up over and over and over again. There was Mrs. Winchester. Mrs. Winchester lives in San Jose, California, used to live there. And she had the Winchester Mansion, massive structure. Sarah Winchester was the widow of the gun company that bore her husband's name, Winchester. For 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, the house was always under construction. There was teams of carpenters and masons and workers that was employed round the clock. Various different stories is told, said that the reason it was a continual build is because she felt like that all the people that was killed by the Winchesters came back to haunt her house. Another reason is because she felt like that in order to be fulfilled in life, she had to continue the build until her dying day, in which she did. For some reason, things were renovated, re-renovated, construction as long as she lived. It had 10,000 windows called the Manchester Mansion. It had doorways and stairs that led up to blank walls. It had 160 rooms in total. By the time that she died, she'd spent $70 million pointlessly building the building. What a waste. Do you want your life to be that way? Do you want to grow old and gray and things haunt you because you did not surrender to God's will in your life? Do you want to be somebody, if you will, please, that just does things and does things and does things and does things that doesn't please the Lord only to wind up empty on the inside? Boy, I thank God for people that use their talent in this church. Amen. And other churches around the world. I thank God for that.
Amen.
I was preaching in the church in the Philippines, and I looked over, and in their orchestra, they had violinists that was in their orchestra. And I looked at this one little girl playing in a church orchestra, by the way. I looked at this girl. I said, how long you been playing? She said, 6 months. I said, you're in a church orchestra and you've been playing the violin 6 months? She said, yes. Here's what she said. Preacher believes in me. Oh. 6 months. I looked at another little girl. I said, how long you been playing? She said, 3 years. I said, how's it going? She said, I'm better than I was when I was only playing for 6 months. So that tells me that that little girl been playing 6 months, probably she's not hitting every chord. But at least she's using her talents for the Lord. Yeah. See, everybody can be used of God. Oh, you don't have to be a preacher of a church. Somehow, for some reason, we think this. We think that, boy, if I'm not pastoring a church one day, I'm a failure. Who says? Who says? As long as you're surrendered to do whatever God wants you to do, if that pleases the Lord, why can't that please you?
Amen.
Well, sure. See, we're all called. You ready? We're all called. You ready? We're all called. You ready? We're all called. To what, preacher? Serve. We're all called to serve. It doesn't matter what post God calls you to. It does matter that you answer the call to serve. Every person in this room ought to be serving Jesus Christ to one capacity or another, because we're all called to serve. Amen. Now I'm saying this. You have somebody that can take down the wall. It's not you. It's not your best friend. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you step out in obedience and you start doing it the way they, can you imagine circling that big old city, not saying a word, not saying a word. It's all building up inside. Ooh, it's building up. I mean, it's festering up. You can tell it's about to come, but the Bible says they didn't say a word, but it's building up. I mean, it's almost like it's a bottle being shaken, you know, that lid's about to pop off. Then all of a sudden they heard the trumpets blow, and the Bible says they shouted. And when they shouted, somebody said, that's right, as a little kid. But when they shouted, the Bible says that wall came down. Was it because they took a hammer, dynamite? No, they just obeyed the Lord. And when you obey the Lord, God takes down your walls too. But you had to learn to obey the Lord. Now, Father, help us tonight, please. I love you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.